Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, good evening, everybody. I am Willie Colby. I'll be your tour guide tonight. Just a quick little announcement. Ty talked this morning about the Cowboy Crew. Looking to see that start up sometime in May, possibly, weather holds out. If you want more information on that, get a hold of Ty. He'll kind of get you all lined out on what the Cowboy Crew is about. And they usually do it on Thursday nights, weather permitting. It's for a couple hours. Kind of figure out how we like to do things around here and all that good fun stuff like that. Other than that, there's really not a whole lot for stuff going on with the ranch or anything like that. You know, it's calving season. Fixing to start branding here pretty soon, probably tagging all the good stuff. Mitch was saying one of our cows that we had donated, she had a little calf yesterday, so that's always good. Got to make sure they stay healthy. Helps feed the families and the needy around here. I guess, since how not really much for stuff happening, we'll just go ahead and get started with the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for guiding me, for putting me up here in front of all these people and everybody online. I know it's been quite the adventure getting here, and I just want you to give me the strength to get through this tonight and kind of give me the words and the courage to just pass on your message the way that you see me fit to do. Keep an eye on them. All the families out here, and just lend a hand and just kind of guide everybody who's going through stuff right now that, you know, nobody knows anything about, stuff that they just keep inside. And that's kind of why I got this sermon made today. And I just really hope you can just carry me away and just make this turn out to be something more than I could ever think of. These things I ask in your name. Amen. So I titled Good Enough, and for me, this is a sermon that's been in the making since, I think I started writing it back in August. Kind of had a weird little something kind of bother me, and it kind of took off, and it kind of came into this. I talked to Kevin about it, and I hit a wall. You know, just nothing was ever right. So this is titled Good Enough, and the reason why I titled it Good Enough was, just never really felt like I was good enough for much. When I talked to Kevin about it, I was done with church. I was done with everything. I just wanted to step down, step away. You know, I'd ask him to ordain me and go through all the motions with all that. And he told me, he's like, if you want to do this, you're going to face some real tough battles ahead, and it's going to be one of the hardest things that you've ever done. And me, I'm always like glass is kind of half full, half empty. It didn't really matter. I just jump in both feet. I don't really care what the outcome of it is. And he wasn't kidding. I mean, taking on this role and responsibility and this doing the stuff on the Facebook page for church, it takes a lot out of you. And I try to do a lot of my stuff in the mornings on my way to work, and just it had got to the best of me. It really did. And I was done. I just didn't have that good enough feeling anymore. You know, I felt good enough to be drawn into getting into this, getting into ministry and all of the stuffs and things. And I thought I was going to be cut out for it, but it turns out I just couldn't hack it. And when I talked to Kevin about it, I was getting ready to start doing the Bible study. Kevin flat out told me, he's like, if your head's not in the game, then you don't need to do Bible study. You don't need to do any of this anymore. He's like, just step down and just take a seat. We'll find somebody else to fill your position. And Kevin's got a way about him. And I don't know, I know a few of us in here have kind of had talks with Kevin, and he's pretty rough and gruff when he knows you. He motivates you in ways that you didn't know you needed. And he motivated me. And that day I told him, I said, okay, I'm back to business. You know, everything's going to be the way that it's always been. And I'm just going to just keep continuing. And, just, you know, thank you for motivating me. And I read a quote this week from a lady named Barbara Garacci or something like that. says our background and our circumstances may have influenced who we are, but we are responsible for who we become. And man, that really hit home. It's just a lot of the stuff that I kind of face day to day, and the stuff that I've gone through in my life. It made me who I am, but each day, that's my responsibility for who I want to become. You know, it's my past made me, and I've been through a lot in my past, and a lot of it's not something that I'm proud of, but, and you know, it made me who I was, but I look forward to every day of becoming better. And I know that going through this stuff, it's definitely made me a better person. I started with this sermon, like I said, back in August, and someone, I was trying to figure out what to title it. My old boss when I worked for Douglas County, his name was Rocky, just a good old boy. And end of the day, when we were cleaning up or whatever, just before we got done, he'd always say, "Good enough." And then we'd kind of pack up tools and start headed back for the shop. And that was kind of sticking with me to name this "Good Enough." So going into this, the whole thing about being good enough, it was, and Kevin kind of touched on it this morning, was how good do you have to be to get into heaven? You know, that's whenever you go to a funeral or whatever, everybody always talks about, "Oh man, he was such a good man, he did this," or "she was such a good lady." Like, it's always the good. And in all reality, I mean, like, we don't have to be good to get into heaven. I gave my life to Christ back in August of 2021. That was me being good enough finally to go to heaven. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards." Sorry, I thought I said salvation, but we all fall short of God's standards. And that's the thing, is no matter how good we are, we'll never be good enough. And I got to looking around and trying to find certain things that would stick out that I could kind of base this off of. And there's 613 Jewish commandments. And then there's the 10 commandments that everybody kind of knows or what have you. But when does all this good enough stuff start? You got to think about it. I mean, does it start at a certain age? Does it start when you give your life to God? There's no real way of knowing it, but who keeps track of it? I mean, yeah, Jesus is the one who lets us in, but is he really keeping track of our good deeds versus our sins? So we got to try and battle that back and forth. But in the end, the hard part that we got to understand is we are good enough. I'm good enough to be up here, and that's something that I've always struggled with. You know, like I had said back in August when I started writing this, I didn't think I was good enough anymore. Having kids, you know, being happily married and having Jake and Zach and trying to raise kids and trying to be that good enough father figure for them. That's something that, you know, some of the dads in here and the moms and stuff, they all know. It's like, you always have that, "I could always do more. I'm not good enough for my kids." There's always just that next step that you're trying to achieve and you're trying to go for. But in all reality, I mean, looking back at how Jake and Zach turned out, man, as long as the lights were turned on and they were fed and clean, that was good enough. That's all they really needed. Everything else in between, it was making sure that they were smart enough to turn to Christ. And that wasn't something that my boys had faced until I turned to Christ. You know, growing up, I'd always had my faith, but I never really went to church. I rode bulls as a little kid all the way up till I was probably 20-ish. I rode bulls, and then I got into racing ATVs. And one thing that I never really thought about until I turned to Christ and I started, you know, coming to church all the time, is I'd always cross myself. Now, I'd do one of those numbers. It didn't matter if I was just before I was calling for the shoot gate, pulling up on the line, whether it was for practice or if it was for a moto or for the finish, you know, whatever. I always did it. And it was just second nature. It was just something I'd always done. And never really thought about it. You know, I always kind of prayed a little bit here and there, kind of growing up, but it wasn't something that I really pursued. My faith wasn't something, I had it, but it just wasn't there. So looking back at it, it was just kind of leading me to where I'm at today, and I didn't realize it. You know, after raising the boys with the ex-wife and I, we got divorced. You don't realize how much of a struggle it is to raise kids until you're on your own. Luckily for me, at that time, my parents were kind of ill, so my parents were kind of around to help. I had my sister, my ex-brother-in-law, you know, I had good friends, I had good family, and they helped raise the boys whenever I was doing whatever for work or whatever. But, you know, it takes a village, and I can't thank my village enough for helping me raise my kids. So, you know, once you kind of go through that single parent phase, you understand how hard it is to be good enough. You know, if there's a couple people involved, you know, a happy husband, happy wife, happy kids, it's pretty easy to be good enough because you always have somebody to kind of help you raise your kids. Well, divorce comes. And that was one of the hardest times of my life. I wasn't good enough. She tried taking my kids. And I tried to commit suicide. I wasn't good enough. I did. I tried to commit suicide twice. Because I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough for her, and I wasn't good enough to have my kids. So after realizing I was good enough to have my kids, kind of pulled my head out of where it was at and put it back on my shoulders where it belonged, and started trying to figure out how to get my life regathered up. And I met my last ex-wife. she came with a couple extra kids. And I tell you what, that's raising somebody else's kids. I thought raising my kids was tough. With that come with, she had an older daughter, and then her two boys were right in between Jake and Zach. It was kind of crazy because you had five different personalities, and you had to be good enough for each one of them. So Alex, I probably shouldn't have said her name, but the daughter, her and I had this like weird relationship. When I come into her life, she kind of just started into her dancing career. We always did the daddy-daughter dances together. Like every time I could be there to pick her up from dance or whatever, I was always there, always went to all of her competitions and everything. The middle step kid, him and I, we got along, but we just didn't have that. We didn't click. And that was something that I fought. And that was part of the reason why we had such a hard time being married, is because I couldn't be good enough for the kids. My kids, I was falling short on being the dad to my kids because I was trying so hard with hers. So my kids fell short of the attention that they needed from dad. I was turning not good enough for my own kids, trying to be good enough for her kids. In the end, the worst part about that is I was such a good parent to the daughter that was the hardest part about it all, was having to lose her. She was that. We had our talks. You know, I have my talks with Jake and I have my talks with Zach, but I could have my talks with her. She tried to move in with me after, you know, we had separated and stuff like that, but she didn't know we had separated. So she tried to move in with Jake and Zach and I, and ended up not working out, obviously, for other reasons. But I finally found that sense of belonging. I was good enough for her finally, after I think it was like 13 years or something like that. Kind of finally had that good enough. Trying with the other kids, it was so tough trying to just mesh with them, trying to be good enough. The youngest one, he was super cool. That kid was so relaxed, so chill. It was hard to not get along with them. It was hard to have a bad day with them. But you know, with both marriages, with the stepkids, with my kids, it's that struggle. It's the struggle of being good enough, a struggle to try and find your self-worth in the relationship, whether it's the relationship with the kids or the relationship with the wife, whatever have you, just not being good enough. That's something that I've always fought. And it's no offense to them or anything like that, but it was me not feeling good enough. Part of it was being told I wasn't good enough, but a lot of it was just me beating myself up. You know, and I think that's something that a lot of us face in our day-to-day lives. Like work, man, I bounced all over the place there for a while because I wasn't good enough. I could go above and beyond. I could be the crew leader. I could do everything, but they wouldn't give me the title. They'd give me all the gratification for that title, but they just wouldn't give me the title, so I'd quit. I'd go find another job. Well, that leads me to where I'm at now. They recruited me. They seen what I could do, and they loved what I was about. They loved my work ethic. I was finally good enough. They came to me and they offered me the foreman position. They offered me the big money. They offered me everything that I could have ever asked for in the job that I had beforehand. And it took some doing. It took talking to Zach and talking to another close friend of mine before I finally pulled the trigger and actually took the job. And it's that I can go to work every day now knowing that I'm good enough. I finally am good enough. I got that position, and now it's opened up so many other doors. I've got opportunities to go across the country now. And it's one of those deals where I just don't know where I'm going to end up. I've kind of stumbled across a couple of things now that are kind of might be keeping me here, and I'm kind of thankful for where it's landed me. You know, it's all the opportunities that have come across because I finally understood that I was good enough, and it took a lot. But like I said, with all the biblical stuff, you don't have to be good enough. As much as I beat myself up day in and day out, I do it to this day. I'm good enough. Even though I don't have to get into heaven, I finally have my self-worth here. And that good enough stuff, it just kept driving me more and more and more when I didn't feel like I was good enough. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For grace you have been saved through. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." So everything I've ever done for my boys, for the stepkids, as much as I tried to raise them to be adults, it's not what I did, it's not how I raised them that's going to carry them on. It's when they actually turn to Christ and they choose Christ. Zach chose Christ. Jake chose Christ. I know that my boys are going to see me in the afterlife, you know, and we're all going to be reunited back up in heaven one day. And that means more to me than they will ever know. I was actually, you know, grateful enough to actually baptize Jake and Zach. And that's something that, you know, I know not many parents get to do, but I'm glad I've pushed myself to become where I'm at and be able to do that with my kids. Being good enough also, it kind of goes into my nonprofit that I run, or I help run. Kendall's a part of it. It's the Dads of Elbert County. And I tell you what, if you want to see if you're good enough, try and run a nonprofit. You know, we have our quarterly meetings and everybody and their brother shows up and they give you all these ideas on how to make this nonprofit the next step, what we can do better, what we can do this or how we're going to do that. But nobody does anything. We have a pretty good admin team that steps up and goes above and beyond. But it's always that constant struggle to be good enough in the community. We have almost 500 members in our group, and everybody's always wanting a little bit more. And you never feel like you've accomplished enough because there's always something else that comes up that they want. My friends, everybody that I kind of grew up with, I wasn't good enough to be their friends. I look back on it and I was a follower. I wasn't good enough to be the leader, but I was good enough to be the one that they kind of grabbed a hold of me and kind of took me on their way with them. But coming into Christ, I found friends that I'm not really a leader and I'm not a follower. We know we're all even keeled. We're all good enough for each other. We all lean on each other. We all have each other to fall back on. And that's that good. That feels good. The sense of accomplishment that you're good enough. You've got good people around you now. You know, we're not supposed to judge, but we all do. When you look at the good in somebody, there's also that, I think I might be a little bit better than this guy, or I might be a little bit better than that guy. It's always that good accomplishment. It's that feeling of being better. Even though we're not going to do any better, we're not going to go to heaven any better. We're all going to go there the same exact way. But it's just that we have to just take that next step, become a little better, become a little better, become gooder. Gooder. Something that here lately that I've kind of been plagued with is I've struggled with a lot of stuff going through divorces and what have you and the kids. And I don't know, there's probably nobody else in here right now that could kind of relate to this, maybe Mitch, but it's trying to date. You know, I've kind of come to that point in my life now where I think I've kind of got to a pretty good place where I can try and invite somebody else into my life, but it's tough. You know, you've got so much stuff that's kind of gone on in your life and you're trying to recover and you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that. How do you bring somebody into your life when you don't even know what you're doing with your life? You know, But I think I've finally got to that point where I'm good enough, where I think I can probably try it, but I don't really know. Like, am I good enough? And that's something that I'm plagued with. Like, I don't know if I'm good enough. But you don't know until you try it, right? So with the faith stuff, I tell you what, it's been a blessing to be up here in front of you guys. It really has. I mean, it's, you guys have pushed me beyond belief, and I couldn't be up here if it wasn't for you guys. I got a lot of support. I mean, my biggest fans are sitting here right now. You know, everybody that's in this room, I know you guys are all, I'd all consider y'all really good friends of mine. We all talk outside of church and during church and what have you. But this good enough stuff, it kind of comes from a post that I'd seen back in, it was April of last year. Kevin had made this deal. It was on the Save Cowboy page. And I asked you to pick a favorite. It was like Kevin makes memes and all that other stuff that Kevin does on Facebook. And it says, pick a favorite picture and help us keep the cowboy way of life. Mine said, the one that I chose said, the toughest tests happen inside of our hearts and mind, where no one else sees how big of a battle we're in. That's that good enough sense that I just haven't had. My battles have always been not good enough. So fighting through all of this stuff, trying to figure out my good enough, it kind of sets you up into, it sets you up into the Ten Commandments and where that all comes from, and the 613 Jewish laws. There's so much there that's like your guideline. You know, you open the Bible and you just start reading. Well, it's a step-by-step manual on how to be good enough. But the hard part is how good do you have to be? Like when's enough? Like, do you know exactly when your last day is gonna be? Are you gonna just keep fighting that good fight and just going out and being above and beyond? So this kind of brings me into Peter. So Jesus had first met Peter when he was casting the fishing nets, and Peter was a fisherman, a blue collar guy, you know. He was out there just sinning like anybody else in the blue collar industry. He was tough, calloused hands, had a mouth of a sailor, short tempered. And when Jesus came to him, he knew who he was. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." I mean, Peter is face to face with Jesus, and he's telling him, "Go away from me. I am sinful." That's Luke 5:8 that's in. You go fast forward a little bit to Luke 5:10, and Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for the people." And that's kind of where I feel like I'm at. I feel like I got a little bit of Peter in me. And, I'm not good enough. You know, go away from me. But Jesus has put me up here. I'm fishing for you guys. You know, I'm trying to provide you guys. And this is my good enough. Jesus is doing the same thing for each and everyone in here today. So when we look at ourselves, we're our worst critics. We all point out our sins. We all know what our sins are, our disparities, our hopelessness. Me being my own worst critic, I feel like I'm worthless. Most days, I know I am. And it's a hard thing to deal with. You know, you got good friends, got good family. And they can sit there and tell you that you're blue in the face, that you're good enough. But are you really? I mean, that's my struggle. I don't always feel like I'm good enough. I got my good days and I got my bad days. And I got some good people around me that help me. But it's still, you just don't feel like you're good enough. So this whole good enough thing, like I said, it's a step-by-step instruction in the Bible. We got 613 Jewish commandments, Jewish laws, the Ten Commandments, all that stuff. I mean, I found it earlier. I just kind of did a half-hearted search. A lot of it's in Deuteronomy. I mean, almost every one of the laws is in Deuteronomy from chapter 1, verse 17, clear through to, what the heck was the last one? Deuteronomy 32, 38. They're all there. It's step-by-step instructions on the laws. It's how to follow Christ and be good enough. when we're looking at this good enough stuff, who keeps the tabs? Like I said before, Jesus does. When does it start? It starts at birth. You know, I watched my kids grow up. There was days that they hated me. My kids didn't want to live with me. There at the end, Jake moved in with me and lived with me full time. Then he went off to go join the Navy. This year, Zach moved in with me. Last night, Zach won this star award. It was the craziest thing ever. It's Elizabeth School District does it. They pick 50 kids out of all of the Elizabeth schools. And Zach got this award. Zach was good enough. You know, we kind of made some jokes about some stuff we probably shouldn't have joked about. And in the end, I know that Zach making that decision to come out and live with me put him in that position to be good enough to get this star award, to be one of 50 kids out of thousands of kids in the Elizabeth School District. He was one of 50 to get this award. And the funniest thing, we were talking about it at the table after he got the award. It was from a teacher we would have never expected. This teacher and Zach, they never really got along. They just, you know, it's one of those student-teacher relationships where the student hates the teacher. But this guy nominated Zach. I figured it was this other teacher that he had. She was super cool. She helped out Jake so much. I figured it was her. But no, it was the last person we expected nominated Zach for the award. And it was for how good of a person he is, how much he helps out around school. He's turned into a really good kid. And he's come a long way. And it's that, you know, step-by-step process that we all have to go through, just finding our good. Zach's good. He's helping out kids at school. You know, a lot of guys around here know Jace Glick. When we walked in and sat down, Jace Glick had seen me. And he walked up and he goes, "Willie, your kid getting an award tonight?" I was like, "Yes, sir." "Well, I'll make sure I make fun of him when he gets up on stage." Well, sure enough, Zach, you know, falls under the C's, so for Colby. So he was, I don't know, fifth or sixth kid in line to get the award. Well, the five or six kids in front of him, he just announced them, kind of said their little bio. Zach comes walking up on stage, and sure enough, Jace makes some sort of comment about, "Well, I told you I was going to give you grief on stage for your dad." And he's like, "But not going to." That's that good enough. It's everything that I've done in the community, everything I've done here at church. People take notice. I can't go to the store without knowing somebody. You know, I'm friends with everybody. I have very few enemies. And it's because of this being good enough. It's my daily struggle to be good enough. But when I go out into the public and I have somebody like Jace, I mean, for those of you who don't know him, he's pretty big name in Elbert County. He's pretty good dude. To have that kind of caliber of person be able to just stop you and give you a little grief before your kid takes the stage, you know, you have that good enough feeling. You know you're doing something right when the higher ups in the county are giving you grief because they know that you're a good person and you take that. And that's something that I hope that my kids can kind of take with them, knowing that everything that your dad's gone through and everything that he fights behind the scenes, a lot of people take notice and they really appreciate the good work that you do. I don't know what everybody's calling is here, but just know that you're good enough. You know, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what part of the ministry you want to be in, or if you just want to sit here in the crowd. You're good enough. Whatever you're going through right now, you're good enough. You're here. You know, with Peter, everything with the whole when he was casting nets and everything, the cool part that I kind of took away from that was that Jesus was out there and Peter had told Jesus, you know, "Call to me so I can come to you." So Peter wanted to walk across the water. So while he was walking on water, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, and he started to get scared. Who wouldn't? You know, you're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you know, obviously that's a kind of a big body of water. He started to begin to sink. And he shouted to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus caught him with his hand. And he said, "Your faith is small. Why did you doubt?" And that hits home. Like, I've always had small faith. I've always doubted. But he's reached out to me. He's got a hold of me. He's trying to save me. We can go even further. We can go into the Sermon on the Mount. And when you look at that, you know, that was Jesus having a discussion with the disciples. He knew that the crowds were going to gather and everything, but this was his talk to his disciples, saying, "Hey, this is how we're going to kind of go out and gather all these others." So anybody and everybody that showed up, other than the disciples, they got to hear Jesus' word and how we were supposed to carry ourselves and how we were supposed to go about our day. So if you take that out of context and kind of put it into the church setting, like, you guys are the disciples. You guys are the ones that are here every Sunday. You come Sunday nights. Everybody else that kind of fills in, those are just kind of the guys on the fence. Just know that even the guys on the fence are good enough. Those of us that are in here, even if it's not your calling, reach out and talk to the people that are newcomers. You know, they see our faces every Sunday. I mean, everybody here I see every Sunday. Reach out, talk to somebody that you've never seen before. That's kind of, even if it's not your calling to go out and do ministry and help others, just shake their hand. Just say hi to them. Help them off that fence. Help them over here. You know, get them on the path to Christ like the rest of us are, and show them that life can be better. Show them that they're good enough. So with that, I'm going to do a part two on this. Part two, I'm going to actually go in depth on the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to go in depth on the 613 laws. I mean, it's pretty intense stuff I have coming up for us next Sunday. I wanted to give you my good enough story, why I've never felt good enough, and why here lately I do feel good enough. I know that I've finally got out of my shell, and I can stand up here on stage. I know this is probably, for me right now, I don't know anybody else what they think about it, but this is probably one of my better sermons, because I'm actually moving around and I'm talking and I'm interjecting my voice and I'm moving my hands. Like, I finally have that I'm good enough now, you know? And I hope that each and every one of you has that sense of being good enough to go out, to talk to somebody, try and lead them this way. Kendall's with me in a Bible study that we do on Monday nights. We meet up at EBC. And I know that Kendall and I struggle when we go to this Bible study, because we're not that big leader, but we've got a good group of guys that can come in there and they can kind of control that Bible study. Like, we'll start in on it and we'll start going through whatever chapter we're reading or whatever book we're in, and they can take over and they can take that control and they can help us through that Bible study. Be that person. I know that not all of us are real wise on scripture and everything like that, but there's people that know less than we do. Be good enough. Be that good person. Go help them along. Get them off that fence. So I hope all of you guys can join me next week as we go into what it takes to be good enough. I know that we've all given our lives to Christ, but let's try and go out there and be good enough. I'm going to kind of dip into those laws and those commandments and on how to be a better person, how to go about your day and just do good. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer, and I thank all of you guys for showing up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for putting your hand on me and just kind of guiding me. Man, I felt it today. I really did. I knew that you had me. But I ask, and I thank you, but I ask that you put your hand on everyone here, everyone at home, everyone that's a part of this ministry. Just place your hand on them and just guide them. I know that we all need your help. I know that we can all be better. I know that we can all be gooder. And I hope that you can kind of guide us and just take us on our way through your leadership. Just watch over all of us that got those battles going on that nobody knows about and we don't want anybody to know about. Just help us understand that we are good enough. Just watch out for those of us that are struggling. And I know there's some good friends of mine that are struggling, going through some real hard times. Just take them under your wing and just help them. I know they need your strength. It's these things I ask in your name. Amen.